This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Steve Nash says he's not listening to this super team noise.
I don't hear it. I live in my Mets bubble, so I don't know what anyone said about us. Not like we did anything illegal.
Rick, are you turned off by this super team that Brooklyn has put together?
No.
You're not?
No, the only thing that turns me off is, God forbid, because it's now considered a super team, that James Harden doesn't win the MVP and we don't see him make it.
He's not going to win the MVP.
This is DCR.
Does it bother you that Dave actually watches your games naked?
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 7 o'clock hour.
Two very good guests this hour. A lot of calls as well. 800-919-3776. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's bring in the first of the two very good guests, Matt Miller at 7:30. But right now it's our resident GM, Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
I heard you're impressed that we're very timely this morning, huh?
Well, maybe Canty is the guy that we've had the problem with. You know, I guess we're doing a little swap. He's on KJZ now, so he's not available. You guys call on time. So, you know, we got to start connecting the dots here, right?
I don't think it takes a brain surgeon to realize Canty's timeliness is really the issue with the show, yes. Yes. Right? I think it goes without saying. You put your finger right on the pulse of the issue, and I'm just going to agree with you right here on the show. All right, Mike, lot to get into. Let's start with the trades and what it means for the Jets. So let me throw it your way. I heard you say it on the K show. I want you to kind of repeat it and get back into it on this show, and that is Miami moves down to 12. Now they're to 6. San Francisco 3. What does this mean, grand scheme, for the Jets right now?
And I think it just really bears repeating, guys, which is, you know, it's really the biggest story that came out of last week, which is they made their decision. They're taking Zach Wilson. I think it's the right decision. But when you put it on paper, guys, think about this. They could have had Sam Darnold, the 12th pick, and think about this, 2 1s next year and a 3. And it's really remarkable that they said, no, we don't want all that. We'd rather have Zach Wilson. And again, I think it's the right decision. But when you think about, just take that Miami trade, and if you're San Francisco, if you could have taken the same assets and gone to 2 instead of 3, obviously you would have done that. And it's to me, they've come out and made their decision, and I think it's the right one.
Yeah, so Mike, in saying all that, do you think they just, I would believe that if they've loved Zach Wilson this entire time, and they knew they were going to take Zach Wilson, I mean, connecting the dots between San Francisco, I mean, it was reported that Philly, you know, tried to get up, was willing to go up to 3, but would only be for Zach Wilson, so obviously they were told by someone that that wasn't going to be a possibility. Like, did they overplay their hand with Sam Darnold now, as far as what they can get in return if they do trade him?
Yeah, you know, Rick, that's a totally fair question. I think ultimately he'll go for a 3 or 4. Maybe they keep him for a year. You know, obviously he's on the fourth year of a rookie contract, so it's reasonable. And look, one of the mistakes I feel like I've made in my career was not having the right amount of depth at the quarterback position. So, you know, if you're going to make a mistake in terms of holding on a guy for too long, you know, that's probably the mistake you want to make. But it also takes time. Like, you have a new staff, you're hiring people, you want to make sure you get the evaluation right. But maybe Chicago comes along and bails him out, or maybe it's Seattle. Who knows? But I think it's a fair point.
Mike, that'd be horrible. I mean, you say that. You say it just, you know, in passing. Let's go back to that. You think they're going to get a third or a fourth round pick for Sam Darnold? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't trade him, because I think you have to. But I would be so underwhelmed if I was a Jets fan and that's what I got in return.
Yeah, it's interesting, Dave. Like, I think when you call around the league, people see Sam Darnold different. Like, I know people in New York, in the metropolitan area, have a very high opinion on him. I think ultimately, you know, he's going to have a good career. I think he'll be Kirk Cousins. I think he's going to be a solid NFL starter. But right now, there's not a lot more you probably could get for him, because, you know, you're talking about a very few handful of teams that need him. So you could hold on to him and then let him graduate in a year. And obviously you're not going to get anything besides a compensatory pick at that point. But I think they've handled this right, because if you're not sure about Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or Trey Lance, you just don't want to give away such an incredibly important asset until you know exactly what you're going to do.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, let me ask you a question. So now, I mean, initially before, you know, all this happened with San Francisco and everything else, there were a lot of different reports that, you know, Sam, late first round pick, maybe a second round pick. Now it's turned into a third or a fourth round pick. Would it? So if I would ask you, I make you the GM of the Jets, would you rather a third or a fourth round pick? Or if it was possible, like you mentioned Chicago, that I could package Sam and the 23rd pick to move up to the 20th pick? Which deal would be better for Joe Douglas?
Yeah, it was interesting. On the earlier hour, it's funny you mentioned that. The caller asked, is there any way the Jets could come out of this with both, call it Zach Wilson and Kyle Pitts, and, you know, go back up to whatever it is, you know, five or six. And I think Joe Douglas deserves so much credit because they have a ton of picks. I don't know how high they could get or how many ones they would, you know, give up, but I would certainly try to do that if they could come out of this with, like, two young blue chip difference-making offensive players. I'm a big believer in it's you want quality over quantity, because my belief is, when I look back at my career, like trading up for Darrell Revis and trading up for David Harris and some of the other players I did, those were great decisions because you could find good starting players in other parts of the draft. And I think it's a fair point, Rick, which is if you could package Sam and get pretty far back, the problem is, like, who in the top eight would see Sam Darnold as a starter? Maybe Carolina. So it's certainly worth pursuing, especially if you could get a guy like Kyle Pitts with the second first-round pick.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So we have a flurry of trades, right? Miami goes down to 12, then back to 6. First-rounders are exchanged all over the place. Phillies with the 12th pick, San Francisco to 3. Is there a winner and loser of this trade in your mind? Did everybody win? Is it kind of middle and we'll wait and see? What's your take on that deal?
Yeah, I think the Jets were the winners in terms of, I just think Zach Wilson has a chance to be a superstar. I gave Miami an A plus and a C minus because when you think about it, their first trade I thought was fantastic. They went back 9 spots and got 2 ones and a 3, which is really compelling value. So they deserve a ton of credit. I think where they really fell short, guys, is they went from 12 to 6 for a first round pick, which is remarkable. They could have called Seattle and said, hey, we're going to give you the 12th pick and next year's one, and they probably could have had DK Metcalf. They could have called New Orleans and said, hey, we'll give you the 12th pick and next year's one, and they could probably have had Michael Thomas. So they gave up more for the 6th pick than what Buffalo gave to Minnesota last year for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, but you just said it, Mike. I mean, what are the chances now all of a sudden at 6, because all the quarterbacks go early in this draft, that, you know, Kyle Pitts is sitting there for you?
Right. But Kyle Pitts is still a projection. So think about this. Buffalo a couple years ago gave up a very similar amount of draft capital to go up for Sammy Watkins, who didn't work out. So you're overpaying, and it may work out where you could have given up the same amount for a frontline superstar, either Michael Thomas or DK Metcalf. So, again, I love their first trade. I just think that they didn't have to give up so much and so quickly. The other thing to say is, like, hey, we're going to wait on the clock, because what happens if Cincinnati takes an offensive lineman instead of a receiver and they'd be happy with Ja'Marr Chase or Kyle Pitts? Maybe they don't have to go from 12 to 6. Maybe it's 12 to 8 or 12 to 9.
All right, Mike, let me ask you, too. So, you know, San Francisco, I mean, gives up a haul to get up to 3. There's a lot of people that are speculating because of, you know, Kyle Shanahan's offense and everything else, is that he traded up to 3 because he wants to draft Mac Jones. I mean, what are you hearing? Do you think it's Mac Jones he's looking at, or is it Trey Lance? Like, what are you hearing right now as to why San Francisco moved all the way up to 3?
Yeah, it's absolutely going to be Mac Jones. I mean, if you think about it, there's no way they could give up all that draft capital for Trey Lance. Trey Lance played in one game. You know, it would be like somebody who was a former professional goalie, former first-round pick that was given a talk show in New York City. I mean, it'd be insane for those things to happen. But in all seriousness, like, there is no way in good conscience the 49ers could give up 2 ones and a 3, trade up for a quarterback that's only played in one game this year. I mean, you're talking about putting all the chips in the middle of the table. And I happen to like Trey Lance a lot, but there's no way you can do that. And I think really, guys, if you think about it, today is the consequential day in this discussion. Right now, there's a pro day going on in Tuscaloosa, and there's a pro day going on in Columbus, Ohio. And both John Lynch, the general manager of the 49ers, and their head coach, Kyle Shanahan, are in Alabama, and that's not a coincidence.
Why would you do that, though? Explain to me this, with your if you're San Francisco. Did you need to move up to 3 to get Mac Jones? I'm confused by that.
Oh, I thought you wanted to ask about why did Rick get a talk show in New York City?
Well, that I question every day, and nobody can really make 2 cents of that. But no, I don't understand that. I don't understand. I understand loving him. I don't understand moving up to 3 to get a guy that maybe I'm wrong, that I didn't think was going to go anywhere near that early.
Well, I agree with you. I would just say, Dave, just going behind the curtain, when you're sitting there and saying, okay, we got a great team. We got Trent Williams. We got Deebo Samuel. We got Nick Bosa. We could win a Super Bowl. And we think that Mac Jones is that guy. He's a younger, better athletic version of Matt Ryan. And, you know, let's not screw around here, guys. Like, maybe he's there at 6, maybe he's there at 7, but we would be sick if we were, like, an extra third-round pick away from, you know, what we think is a real Super Bowl run. So I agree with you, but I've been there, too, where you talk yourself into things and say, hey, you know what, like, this is probably a little bit more than we need to pay, but let's make sure we get the guy we want.
So, Mike, do you believe them when they say that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be on the Niners this upcoming season?
Oh, I don't think so at all. I think they will, if they get any sort of reasonable value, they'll trade him. Look, if they have to keep him, they will. You know, we could go back a couple of years ago when Buffalo and Kansas City made a trade. Kansas City gets Patrick Mahomes at 10. They have Alex Smith. He plays 1 year, and obviously the rest is history. And, you know, maybe Jimmy G turns out to be their Alex Smith for a year. But I'm sure if they could get reasonable value, they would rather trade Jimmy G and just move on with Mac Jones.
Rick does it every week. He says, last one for me, and then he goes on for like a 5-more-question run. This is legitimately the last one for me. And Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. What do you think the Giants do at 11? And I would love them to take the offensive lineman and really make sure that they do everything for Daniel Jones. But your GM opinion is what do they do?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think it has to be another pressure player. I think they've had a really good offseason. I think they solidified what they need to do on the offensive line. You know, when you look at Andrew Thomas, Solder coming back, we'll see what he has. I think Lemieux has a chance to be a good starting guard. And obviously, Galladay was a guy they paid a massive premium for. But I think this is a defense that overachieved under Patrick Graham. They got better. But if they could come out of this with another pressure player to add with some of the other things they've done, I think they have a chance to really, you know, take another step. But that's when I look at their defense, Dave, like consistently, can they get there with 4? And as they're constructed right now, as good as Leonard Williams was last year, I just don't see it.
Mike Tenenbaum joins us here in the show. Mike, I promise this is the last one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so you have, it looks like Trevor Lawrence going one of the Jaguars. You're saying Jets take Zach Wilson at 2. You're saying the Niners take Mac Jones at 3. In your opinion, does Atlanta stay at 4 and draft a quarterback, or is there another team like maybe, you know, Carolina that jumps up and makes a deal there to get up to 4 to take a quarterback?
Yeah, that's absolutely where the draft starts. Like, the first 3 picks are done. It's the draft starts at 4. Atlanta's on the clock. I think that's really where the intrigue begins. Is it Carolina coming up? Does Chicago try to do something to go up? And I think that's what's fascinating. And to go back to what we just talked about a minute ago, guys, like, that to me is a great scenario for Trey Lance, because you could say, hey, you know what? Matt Ryan may have a year or two here. Let's take a guy that really has a chance, because this guy athletically is just off the charts. Arthur Smith has developed great quarterbacks in the past. That's why he got the head coaching job. We're in year one. There's not pressure on us. So if we're making the best decision for the next 10 years, you know, it could be Trey Lance there. But boy, I think you hit it, nailed it on the head, Rick, which is what happens. Is it Carolina or is it maybe even Chicago? So that's where the intrigue is. But the first 3 deals, picks are done. They're quarterbacks, and away we go from there.
Wow, we thought the draft was going to start at 3. Now it's going to start at 4. All right, Mike, I don't know if I'm picking up on these vibes, but you sound very peppy and energetic this morning.
Yeah, Dave, I started early with X2 this morning. It's an all-natural, healthy energy drink, which gives people like Kawhi Leonard, a lot of pros, energy in a natural way. And I take it every day, and I appreciate you asking.
All right. Well, you are very energetic. You are very good, as always. You are very punctual, which we appreciate as well. And we will talk to you next week.
All right, fellas, I can't wait to tell Chris that, you know, he's not here, we're on time. So we're just connecting the dots.
Yeah, we're connecting the dots, and I don't know if he'll be here next week when you join us either. So we appreciate that. Thank you
so
much.
Yeah, part-time Canty.
All right, guys, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, who knows if Chris will be here when Mike joins.
How impressed would you be? I mean, he brings up Arthur Smith. How impressed would you be if you were an owner of a team? Obviously, they were impressed. They hired him as the coach of the Falcons. Like, when he comes in for a job and he wants to grind 16 hours a day when his dad
was worth like $1 billion?
When his dad founded FedEx.
I love that.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's amazing.
Yeah, I would love that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
USC Gonzaga at 7:15 tonight. UCLA, Michigan, 9:57. Why do we need to have these games so late? Why do we need 10 o'clock tip-offs for the NCAA tournament now?
I have no idea.
We couldn't do, couldn't do a 7:08 start and a 9:20 start? 9:15?
Just to make you miserable. To make you fight through 4 hours of sleep.
It's not just me. Like, who wants to stay up till midnight watching college basketball?
I'm sure there has to be enough people that they would have these games tip off at 9:57.
I guess. I don't know. I would think, am I wrong? I would think that if you started the second game at 9:05, that you would be in much better standing, no?
Well, did you hear the Baylor coach after their big win? He goes, I'm just
no,
happy.
No, I didn't. The game ended at midnight. How could I have heard?
he goes, I'm just happy I stayed awake. This is late.
It's too late. You don't mean Kim Mulkey, right? You mean the...
No, he did not say, throw the COVID testing out the window. We're all good. Just make sure we get these final four games
That's
played.
Right. Listen, now we're in the final four. We want to absolutely... This has to get done. Just take the testing and throw it out the window. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. And I'm right, by the way. There was a connection between you and Kim Mulkey when she was in the studio. And Chris completely agreed.
No, I really liked her a lot.
I liked her, too.
Well, I mean, you're talking about, too, that game last night. I mean, her, Baylor, UConn. I mean, her against... You know, Geno, I mean, that led SportsCenter. The highlights of that game led SportsCenter.
Listen, it was great. It was an exciting game. It was two of the elite programs in women's college basketball. It had everything. I can't, and I don't want to go back here, but I can't believe that she went there during her press conference.
Well, listen to
no
it, too. What she's
for it.
Well, but what she says, too, before she actually says what she's about to say. What I'm about to say probably isn't going to matter anyway, but I'm still going to choose to say something so ridiculous.
Yeah. By the way, not going to matter. She is now trending on Twitter with her nonsense. All right. The Mets have to get this done, right? With Lindor and 800-919-3776, 10 years, 325. Who says no? How does he? I don't understand. This feels like a big gamble to me from Lindor. How do you say no to 10 and 325?
Well, he said no now. I mean, yeah. Who knows? I mean, who knows what this did? This is going to be it for him, right? Like he's 27.
You have to figure this will be the last contract that he gets.
This is his last big deal. And he realizes the kind of leverage he has right now. And that's why he has this artificial deadline. You know, start of the season. I'm not going to negotiate into the season. Well, you're not negotiating. Your agent's going to negotiate. You come up with a number, and your agent can, whenever he wants, pick up the phone, call Sandy or vice versa, and they can get a deal done. But he's choosing to make this deadline because deadlines make deals. They said 10 for 325. He says 12 for 385, which is, I mean, that's crazy.
It is crazy. Why would I want this guy? Why would I want a shortstop at 39 years old? That makes no sense.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. And I understand why he asked for it when you look at what Mookie Betts signed for. Right, like he's trying to. I mean, he's going to use what Mookie got, and then he's going to go a little bit more. But I mean, I just think with the way that Steve Cohen has handled this, this is his first big deal, and we were sold all of this once he bought the team. We have the richest owner in baseball that we would have our choice of all the free agents, and we had our wish list. Right, we sat here on the radio and we said, okay, we need a catcher. Let's get Real Muto.
Right.
We need a starting pitcher. Let's get Trevor Bauer. We need a center fielder. Let's get George Springer. Well, guess what? We didn't get any of those. It seemed like every free agent outside of James McCann that we wanted, we didn't get. Right?
Oh, so I agree. There was relievers I wanted. Alex Colomé and others that I would be interested
in. Yeah, Brad Hand. You name it. Like, there were guys that we wanted we didn't get. So we end up, Francisco Lindor, one of the best players in baseball, we got him in a trade. Not to mention we had, you know, Cookie Carrasco throwing that deal. So he was going to be our guy. He was going to be our big free agent signing. And then I got Steve Cohen going on Twitter, which I think is a mistake, you know, asking the fans, you know, what do you think Francisco Lindor is going to, what do you think it's going to take to get this contract done? I'm crowdsourcing, which I think was a mistake. Unless the deal was done, it was a mistake. And then while we went to dinner, he ordered chicken parm, raviolis weren't good, whatever. Like, I just, it wasn't necessary if you didn't know for a fact that the deal was going to get done. But I agree with you 100%. I feel like this is something on both sides, because I think Francisco Lindor is risking not taking this money and going into free agency when you have no idea what the CBA.
You can't risk that. I don't think you. I think that would be a tremendous mistake. Because look at who's going to be available free agency-wise as far as shortstops are concerned. How do you turn down $325 million? Can you guarantee me, Rick, that if he hits free agency, he gets that same deal?
No, I can't guarantee you that. No one can guarantee you that. Who knows? Who knows what the landscape of baseball is going to look
like
with this new CBA? Here's the thing, though. So let's put it into context as to what he's asking for, right? So they offered him 10 years, $325 million.
Correct.
Who's the best player in Major League Baseball?
Mike Trout.
Okay, so Mike Trout, he signed a 10-year extension. So he had 2 years left on his deal. Signed a 10-year extension. The 10-year extension was worth $360 million. That was the extension. The 10 years, okay. 360 was the extension. So they offered him 10 years, 325. The $32.5 million would put, as far as position players are concerned, average annual salary, he'd be right there at 8 with Nolan Arenado. Position right. player-wise, there's a bunch of pitchers.
Does that seem unfair? I mean, isn't that right about where it should be, probably?
Well, I mean, when you're asking for the kind of years that he's asking for, right? Like, if you want more average annual, you're not going to get the same kind of years. The more years you want, like the fact that he wants 2 extra years in the 10, I can't pay you exactly. Like, those last two years.
You're asking, if he's asking for almost the identical average annual by extending the deal by 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, you're asking, it's 32.1 as opposed to 32.5.
I mean, LeMahieu got extra years, and he took a pay cut because of it.
Exactly right. Like, you're going to get a premium. You're going to get more. Like, you saw what, like, Trevor Bauer wanted a high average annual, so he took a shorter-term deal. If you want, like, the reason why I got a 15-year deal was because it was to keep my average annual down. If I said, no, I want $8 million a year, they ain't going to give me a 15-year deal making $8 million a year. There's no incentive for them to do that.
I don't think there's any way. Let's go to Jim in Rocky Point. Jim, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen. Love you guys in the morning. How's everything today?
Good, Jim. We're very well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you, Tim, but I'm looking at this more of as a baseball perspective here. And, I don't think that type of 12 years at 39 years old for a shortstop is anywhere near a good deal. If they could keep it closer to 10, still rough, but big outfielders in the American League and the National League are the guys that get the big contracts. Bryce Harper, Mookie Betts, Aaron Judge is looking at a payday, Giancarlo Stanton, because they can produce, and then into their older years, they could DH in the American
Giancarlo Stanton
League.
Was a great example during this little exercise. That was where you wanted to go.
Well, he did win a National League MVP.
Yeah.
To his credit.
But he's not with the Yankees now. Needed.
No, but he's not what the Yankees needed. No, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's a DH now. He can't even play the field.
I think 10, 325, when I saw that, I was like, all right, this will get done. Like, when I saw the tweets last night that this was the offer that was extended to him, I thought by the time we got on the air this morning that we would be discussing 10 years of Lindor. I'm very surprised that he said no.
Yeah, I'm not as surprised. I thought that him and his agent would take this right up to the deadline to try to get as much money as possible, is what I thought.
You think the Mets hold firm here? You think they extend some way a little bit?
Well, I think it depends on what they want to do. I mean, it depends on how many, if the years for them is the sticking point. And it feels like, I mean, with how they handled Springer, like they didn't want to go that extra year. It seems like, they have 10 years as how long they want this deal to be. I would say that they probably go up a little bit as far as the average annual is concerned and bump them up. So maybe it ends up being
10 for 350,
10 for 340.
Oh, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, but it's not your money, though, Dave. There's no salary cap in baseball.
I understand, but I'm just saying it's so much money. Like, could you imagine being offered 10 for 325 and being like, no, that's not going to cut it. I'm going to need more than that.
No, I couldn't. No, I absolutely couldn't. Listen, as bad as it would look, because I think Mets fans would be really aggravated. I don't care how much money you're talking, just because we were sold, like, money's not an issue for Steve Cohen. Like, for Francisco Lindor, with the uncertainty of where baseball is headed with the CBA, if I'm his agent, I'm like, okay, once we get to Thursday, if the offer is still 10 for 325, we have
we're
to take it.
Yeah. This is going to get done, right? I have no
I think
doubt
it has
this
to.
Gets done. Yeah.
I think, because how's Conforto's deal? You think that Conforto's agent, Scott Boras, like, maybe they just throw, because they need to get somebody signed, they throw a bunch of extra money at Michael Conforto because he's a homegrown guy, but They got to get somebody signed.
I think they'll get them both signed. I think at the end of the day, Lindor and Conforto are kind of the backbone of this team moving forward.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Wanted to get him on last week, and he said he can't come on because he was at the BYU Pro Day watching Zach Wilson. So now we have him, and now we get all the updated information. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Doing well, guys. Appreciate you having me on and being flexible with the craziness that is the month before the draft.
Yeah, we are here for you. Whenever you can give us a couple minutes, we appreciate it. So, I mean, you were there. You saw it. I heard it was even better in person than it was on television. Were you wowed by Zach Wilson last week?
Yeah, I was. And the key to this is, guys, I've never seen him throw a person. And I spoke to a lot of scouts and general managers and decision makers who were there, and they said the same thing. You know, that you have to remember, at the end of the 2019 season, no one really cared who Zach Wilson was. You knew who he was, right? He's a two-year starter at BYU. You're aware of that. But nobody really, he wasn't moving the needle, you know, headed into his junior year. And so no one had really paid attention to him. And then, you know, he blows up this past year, the 33 touchdowns, three picks. I think he had 10 rushing touchdowns. Just, he blew up. He took over. And I think because of that ascension, a lot of people were anxious to see him in person, to really see what he looks like. You can watch a guy on tape, you can watch a guy on TV, and you can get an understanding of, wow, he threw that ball 65 yards off his back foot. That's crazy. But until you see it in person with the velocity, you know, the arc that he throws with the ball, I was even telling someone yesterday, what I love about watching a quarterback in person is, and I'm sure you guys can appreciate this, sometimes you watch a quarterback throw, and for them to really dial up velocity, you get that, oh, you know, you hear them give everything they have. You don't hear Zach Wilson throw the football. It's effortless. Even on those 65-yard reverse field rollouts with all the craziness, you don't hear him throw the football. And that's just one of those little things that you can't get that nugget watching film. And that's why with quarterbacks, seeing them in person is super important, super valuable, and with Zach, I mean, I think he did everything that you could reasonably do in a pro day to impress the New York Jets and everyone else who was there.
So after getting a chance to see him live and in person, I know you can break down his tape and everything else, has it changed at all how you feel about, you know, where you would rank him in as far as the quarterback's concerned, or how, you know, how much distance there would be between, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson in the draft?
I still have like a sizable gap between Trevor Lawrence and everyone in this class. And that's not disrespectful to Justin Fields or Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or Mac Jones. It's just the reality of the talent that is Trevor Lawrence. So there's nothing that a person can do at a pro day to bridge that gap between themselves and Trevor Lawrence. There's that gap exists because you have questions about the tape, or you have questions about, you know, how they'll transition in terms of scheme and, you know, football IQ, things like that. And it is tougher when you're doing this job. You know, in the media, you're looking at this job and you make your big board, and it's not based on a scheme, you know, or an offense that you're going to run. For other teams, you know, the New York Jets are going to look at this and say, we got Mike LaFleur's offense. This is what we're looking for. Zach Wilson might fit that perfectly. Kyle Shanahan might say, Zach Wilson is my dream prospect. This is perfect for me. And that changes things. So I think when you look at it, you know, from a broad standpoint of, you know, generally evaluating players, you know, there are things with Zach that you love and that no one else in the class can do. I think he's the best pure thrower in the class. He's aggressive. He's creative. He's smart with his eyes. But then there are going to be the question marks that you have in there of, man, 1 year against a pretty rough Mountain West schedule where his toughest game was Coastal Carolina and he didn't play that well, that gives me pause. And I think it should give every evaluator pause of, okay, like he was really good last year, but if you go back to 2019, he was pretty bad against Utah, pretty bad against Washington, struggled against Tennessee. So you're trying to figure out, is 2020 a product of him getting better, or is 2020 a product of them playing a worse schedule? And that's the thing right now that it's just impossible to know the answer to.
Matt Miller, NFL draft scout, joining us here on DCR 98.7 ESPN. You do mock drafts. You project where guys are going to go to all the time. Is this a done deal? Let me ask you a two-parter. Is it a done that he's going to go to the Jets at 2, and is it done that Jones is going to go to the Niners at 3?
So I do believe it's very close to a done deal that Zach Wilson goes to the Jets. Now, there is still a month. I don't get the sense that the Jets know without a shadow of a doubt who they're going to draft right now. Being at the BYU Pro Day, talking to people from other NFL teams, trying to get a sense for that, Everyone I talked to said, we believe the Jets will take Zach Wilson. And until the 49ers traded up to three, what you would hear is he will go number two. It'll be the Jets or someone else, because a lot of people knew that this trade was in the works, right? And so now, I mean, you look at it and say, what do the Niners do at three? I feel like that's more of an open conversation. I know right now everyone is pointing to Mac Jones as the pick. And it does make some sense, right? I mean, he's a smart quarterback. He's accurate. He's really good on play action. That screams Kyle Shanahan. But I think that the thing that keeps me from saying, yeah, they're going to pick Mac Jones is that they're keeping Jimmy Garoppolo for a year. And the point that even the New England Patriots tried to trade for him and it didn't happen, I think the fact that they're keeping Jimmy for another year would point to maybe they are willing to go with a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields and try to develop them for a year. Let them sit and learn, almost go with that Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes type of transition. But who knows? I mean, the last time the Niners fell in love with a quarterback, it was C.J. Beathard. They passed on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson in the first round and drafted him in the third. So I think we're all still trying to figure out exactly what Kyle Shanahan wants at the quarterback position, how involved John Lynch will be in that pick, because you know this has been a very, in 2019, a very successful team. They haven't had a ton of success in the NFL draft, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So I think that is still something everyone, it's like, oh my God, Kyle Shanahan's going to get to handpick his quarterback. Last time he did that, it actually didn't work out very well. So this is a person who generally is better with veteran quarterbacks. That might tip the scale of the Mac Jones favor, given how pro-ready he's believed to be coming out of Alabama.
Now, let me ask you this, Matt. If it doesn't end up being Mac Jones, and just because, I mean, Kyle Shanahan maybe wants to, you know, what he's running now, he wants to take to that next level with, you know, a quarterback that has more mobility. Would that be, in your opinion, Trey Lance, or would that be Justin Fields?
You know, Justin Fields could give me the more mobile of the two. I mean, and today's his pro day. He's maybe going to run in the high 4.3s at 225 pounds. I mean, mobility is a big part of his game. You go back to true freshman year at Georgia, he's running all over the place. He did it a lot at Ohio State. Trey Lance to me is more of a, he can move, but he's a pocket quarterback. And that was a very run-heavy offense at North Dakota State, so he wasn't asked to drop back 35 times a game and run around and make crazy things happen. It was more, hey, we want you to hand the ball off. We're going to do a lot of play action. We're going to do some RPO, but it's a lot of pro style to Trey Lance. So while he is a very good athlete, if you wanted someone who is going to be able to spark an offense with their leg, that's Justin Fields.
Matt Miller with us here, NFL draft expert, draft scout on 98.7 ESPN. I'm kind of torn with the Giants because obviously you want an edge rusher, and obviously you want to make sure that offensive line is going to be as good as possible for Daniel Jones. So, firstly, I guess Rousseau had his pro day. How did that go? And is he still, you think, on the Giants' radar? And secondly, would a Slater be a bad pick for the Giants at 11?
Yeah, you mentioned Gregory Rousseau, the Miami pro day yesterday. And yes, Gregory Rousseau had his pro day, but it was Jalen Phillips who stole the show. And it will be, I know that, you know, for a year, everyone has talked about Gregory Rousseau because the 19.5 tackles for a loss last year, the 15.5 sacks as a redshirt freshman. He had a great year. I actually think Jalen Phillips is a better player. And that showed up at the pro day. Jalen Phillips ran an official 4.56 at 260 pounds. It's just, it's ridiculous. His athleticism is the best of any edge rusher in this class. I think his ability to convert speed to power is the best of any edge rusher in this class. Now, the questions will be, he had three concussions at UCLA. He had an ankle injury at UCLA. And he actually retired from football briefly. He transferred to Miami, resumed his career, so he sat out a year, got back on the field, and had a great 2020. So the questions with Jalen Phillips are, what do you do with his medical history? Because if his medical history wasn't there, he's a top 10 pick. So the Giants say, you know what, all this is in the past, that year off helped. We saw him play in 2020. We're not worried about it. Then I think he is probably the only value for an edge rusher at 11 overall. Gregory Rousseau, the more I talk to scouts, the more you hear that he's not liked as much by the NFL as he maybe is by the media. And so I've heard second-round grades on him. I've heard third-round grades on him. You know, the athleticism yesterday at the pro day, he had a nice 40 time of 4.68. I don't have his three-cone time in front of me, but I remember reading it yesterday and being like, oh, that's not very good. And I think only a 30-inch vertical jump, which shows, you know, a lack of explosiveness. So there are some questions there. A guy who, you didn't play football for a year, you should be testing at elite levels, like we're seeing from the other opt-out guys. So I think that will create some questions with Rousseau. And then also, he took a year off and Jalen Phillips and Quincy Roche step right into his position and arguably play it better. So that creates questions about how much of your production was scheme built, how much of it was you actually going out there making plays on your own.
Yeah, no such thing as red flags for Dave Gettleman. Just overlook all those red flags.
Yep.
So let me ask you this. I'm asking for a friend, and my friend is an NFC East troll, loves the Dallas Cowboys. They need corner. Patrick Surtain obviously is a name that he really likes. But, I mean, Caleb Farley has the back surgery, but then you see video of him running a 4.28 40. Like, how much will that back surgery affect where Caleb Farley goes in this year's draft?
That is a huge question right now. Caleb Farley, 3 weeks ago, a lot of people thought might be the first corner off the board because of the speed, the size, the man coverage ability. I think for Dallas, Patrick Surtain is a beautiful scheme fit. Like, that is almost picture perfect. Now, where Caleb Farley goes, and something I actually wrote about this morning in my scouting notebook column, is that I still believe he'll be a top 25 pick. So do people in the NFL. Everyone you talk to says he's too good to fall that far. He's still going to be a first-round pick because while it is a back surgery, it's a micro discectomy. It's not as serious as maybe some of the other, surgeries that a player could have on their back. So I think people are looking at it and saying, okay, like, yes, it's a concern because it's getting cleaned up this close to the draft. He's had some, injury issues throughout his college career, but the athleticism, the size, the ball skills are just too good to overlook.
Matt, great stuff. We appreciate it. Whenever you have a few minutes over the next 4 weeks, hop on the show and we'll dissect the draft with you. We really appreciate a couple minutes. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right. That, of course, is Matt Miller. Zach Wilson, your guy, and seems – I don't think he's as this is a done deal with Mac Jones at 3, but it sounds like he thinks that he's going to go there as well as the Niners.
Yeah, and if Matt wants to co-host, we got a bunch of hours open here.
We do.
Jump on for an hour and 15
minutes.
We're looking for a third.
We'll put the public announcement out there. Guests on DCRP are via the Goodyear hotline. So how about this first show coming up later at 11:30 this morning? You love this, by the way. It's baseball week on Greeny Show, which really, I mean, no one loves more than you. Guess who? And I'll give you a hint or two. 11:30 on the Greeny Show.
11:30 yeah. on
now
the
you could
Greeny
say
show.
I mean, do you need like any specific direction for me to give you a little hint?
Yeah, give me a little bit of a direction.
All right. When I think of this guy, I think defense first in Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball. You think
yes.
Defense first.
Some would say maybe he's a wizard, wizardry like ability.
Ozzie Smith.
There you go. 11:30 this morning. One Oswaldo Smith will join Greeny.
Always my biggest pet peeve in baseball.
Is what?
Lefties can't play middle infield. Used to drive me crazy.
It's a big problem for you, huh?
Huge problem. Now, I got lucky that my little league coach let me moonlight over at shortstop. I was always at first base, but occasionally he let me play shortstop. But, I mean, always a dream girl. I like Jody Reed. I want to play middle infield.
Yes, the one guy that was in love with one Jody Reed. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. A lot of people want to talk. What do you say we get to some of these calls before we hand it over to KJZ?
I think we have to.
I think we should. Let's go to Matt in Queens. Matt, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. Very well.
Mike Tenenbaum touched on this point that I've been making for a couple of weeks now. I'm not trading Sam Darnold for a third-round draft pick. If the Jets love Wilson, and I don't know if they should, and you can't, and it's really true, you can't get anything for Darnold, I'm not getting rid of Darnold for a third-round draft pick. That's crazy. And I can make you a bet that I'm
the third-round pick you get is going to be better than the third-round compensatory pick you get if he leaves in free agency.
Right, but if you keep Sam Darnold, we don't know. We still don't know if he's a good quarterback with a real coach and really.
But how are you
going
to? But Matt, if
you're not going to play him, man,
you're not going to play him. If you take Zach Wilson with a second overall pick, you're not going to play Sam Darnold.
If you put Zach Wilson in the first quarter of the first game, he's going to be terrible. He's never played.
How do you know that?
Anything near this because he's never played anywhere near this level of competition.
But you don't know that. I mean, the Jets are going to do everything they can to build around him.
Competition.
But I get that, but you don't know that for sure. And how do you know that if you put Sam Darnold in there first quarter that he does any better than Zach Wilson? We have no idea. We don't have the answers.
Yeah, but what's amazing, too, is a lot of these quarterbacks that ended up having success in the NFL weren't necessarily guys that played against the best competition in college. Right? I mean, you tell me, did Josh Allen play against the best competition at Wyoming?
Not at all. And he wasn't overwhelmed. And Josh Rosen played against great competition in college, and he looked like he didn't belong in the NFL.
Dave, I think we're lockstep with this. If you draft Zach Wilson with a second overall pick, you need a really solid veteran presence as the backup quarterback.
Yes. I agree. Like an Alex Smith.
Yes.
Someone like that. I honestly, I haven't really thought about it, but I can't even, like, is there anybody else available? Chase Daniels signed somewhere, right?
Is there anyone else available at the moment? The guy I would want is Alex Smith.
Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. Hoops update brought to you by Tipico Sportsbook. Join Tipico Sportsbook in New Jersey and receive an instant deposit match up to $750. Let's make it interesting. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Two more games tonight. That'll give us the final four. USC Gonzaga at 7:15. UCLA and Michigan at 9:57. Kenny, Jersey. Kenny, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
We're good.
Good. Hey, I want to take Rick's side, man, with the Mets deal. I don't really care how much this dude spends. Just spend the money and get the players. I mean, it's not my business how much money he spends. It's not a salary cap, so it's not going to destroy the team. So spend the money. Do like the Yankees used to do. Throw money at the problem. I mean, it's our turn. We got a rich owner, so we should take the Yankees' money.
But, Kenny, are you worried? Are you really worried that it's not going to get done with the Mets and Lindor?
Nah, it'll get done. I think it'll get done at that tag. I don't think it's going to go no higher. That'll be the tag. But like I said, I wouldn't worry about it, man. Throw the money at it. We need a championship. The Mets need a championship. So throw the money at it. Buy a championship. I don't care. We need it.
I like that. Buy a championship. Doesn't matter.
It just hasn't been handled right. Steve Cohen hasn't handled the whole thing the right way, in my opinion.
I would agree with that. I wish he would get off Twitter, by the way.
Well, no, I like some of the stuff he does on Twitter. Like, yeah, I mean,
some of it's cute, but do we really need to have you negotiating on Twitter?
No,
with Francisco
Lindor? I don't need that, and I don't need them to really. You could have said, like, the offer was, you know, there was an offer for 10 years, $325. It doesn't have to be, this is the hard and fast last offer.
Right. Because now somebody looks ridiculous.
Either
you win because he's going to accept the 10 and 325, or you saying this is the final offer and you're not going to go anymore. Now you're going to go more and you're going to look like you've kind of eaten crow there. So there's something bad.
Yeah, you look weak. And this is your first deal. You're setting a precedent with this deal.
Let me know about the chicken parm. I'm fine to learn about the ravioli, but I don't need to go beyond that.
Yeah, bring back the black jerseys, like a old timers game. Like, all that stuff is great. That's good interaction with the fan base. Don't start negotiating a contract with Francisco Lindor.
This is our final offer, and you will see nothing more. Let's go to Troy in South Carolina. Good morning, Troy.
Yes, two comments. The first one on Cohen. You know, the collective decision-making, it doesn't look good, but he's got to get this deal done. Dave, this is his litmus test deal. He has to get this deal done, and he has to pay for it.
Well, it's not like he's using a two-for-one coupon. He's offering $325 million over 10 years.
Yeah, you don't want to look like a sucker, too, though. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, you don't want to be taken advantage of. Like, I think 10 years, $325 is a
big offer.
That's a big-time offer. That's a legitimate deal. And I can understand the other side of it where he's saying, okay, you know, I saw what Mookie Betts got. I want that extra 2 years. Give me 12 for, you know, $385. He's asking for the moon. And I would imagine, like, if both sides want to get this done, they're close enough where, you know, somewhere in the middle is where they get a deal done.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree. By the way, the K-Show, did you hear this on the K-Show? I thought I heard it. Then I listened to more of the show yesterday. So they started to. We know that. And they're going to be giving away $500 to a lucky listener starting this upcoming Monday?
Oh, yeah. All April.
All April?
That's what I don't want to speak out of school. I think it's all April, yeah.
I think I heard that as well yesterday.
That's big time, Dave.
That is a lot of money.
It's a big time
show. $500 a day starting on Monday on the K-Show. Listen to the K-Show for details with that. It's a good show to begin with. And now they're just going to sweeten it by giving away cash?
I don't know what's better than that.
Maybe Francisco Lindor can, maybe Steve Cohen can win some of the money and funnel it over to Lindor to get that deal, you know, even more attractive.
There's poor people around.
What do you think the number ends up being? You think the deal gets done. What do you think the number
ends up being? Let's do this right now. I'd like RJ to write it down and make our projections for years and money. I'm going to go 10, 3, 35.
Pay that man his money.
10, 3, 35.
10, 3, 35.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. I wanted to go 10, too. But
you
he wants the 12. Yeah, but obviously he wants the 2 extra years.
He does.
I would say either 10, 3, 40, or I would say... No, I'll be different. I'll go... I'll say 12.
12.
12, 360.
12, 360. All right. They're locked in. We will revisit that. If Canty did the show with us, we would find out his take, but he is not here right now. All right. Let's go. Time for 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars of DCR. Number 3.
Now, before you start, Raymond, do
yes.
you remember, Rick, who won all 3 stars yesterday? I mean, a clean sweep, unheard of in the 3 stars.
Yeah, Dave Rothenberg did. We get it.
All 3.
Well, I'm going to come right back at you today, Dave. 3rd star is going to be this gambling helplines. I don't appreciate how you're gaslighting and projecting onto RJ today, saying that he's got some gambling issues.
I mean, he's doing, if there's a pool out there and he can throw money at it, he's doing that. And he's about to get married. I worry a little bit for his wife-to-be. That's all. I'm trying to help.
I feel like you're the expert on these sorts of things, but I don't like the direction you're heading. I don't think RJ's quite on your level quite yet.
Well, all right. Well, I don't gamble at all, so continue along.
Number 2.
Here was Steve Nash earlier.
I don't hear it. I live in my Nets bubble, so I don't know what anyone said about us. To be honest with you, I have no clue. You know, I mean, we I don't know what to tell you. We traded for James Harden. We gave up some really good young players and draft picks, tons of them. We got 2 guys in the bio market that are big names and had great careers and are still able to contribute. It's not like we did anything illegal, so I don't know what we're supposed to do.
Steve Nash is lying. He definitely pays attention. He knows he has a super team, and he also kind of throws shade to his 2 guys, Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge. I don't know. I feel a way about that one. But moving on.
Number one
to Michael Kay's ghostwriter, one Rick DiPietro, for this line.
All these fans want to be Sting with tantric sex. They want it to take forever. I want it to happen right now.
Great line. Great delivery by Michael Kay. All goes back to the Nets, but keep feeding Michael those lines.
Yeah,
I love it.
And I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. The Jets and Zach Wilson leads off KJZ coming up right now. And for us, it's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty Rothenberg, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.